Welcome to Dick Hensel's pub. Well, I thought you brought it. Did you bring
there is
Sharon, did you
bring it? No, it's a public place. I cannot. Sorry.
How about barley water?
Well, anyway, so I'm just going to start playing here and we'll talk in a minute. Talk was going to be about, and I meant some of it at the time. but really, what I wanted was just to play you some tunes and answer some questions and see what you wanted to know about Celtic music. So you can start asking questions anytime, or I can just, and if nobody says anything, I'll play another tune. So that's not an incentive for you to not ask questions. If you do have questions, you should ask them. Because this is a session, after all. I will probably probably end up doing a concert eventually, which has been rescheduled for Thursday, and Michelle says she thinks she'll feel better tomorrow. She says she's, yes.
What is that called?
Okay, good. See, I always miss the obvious ones. All right. So anyway, so I'm kind of a bagpipe specialist, I think you would say, and I play lots of different bagpipes. I play Highland great pipes that you wear a skirt and you walk down the street in parades, and I left those at home because, well, they're too loud for this room for one thing, and for that room too. Although they're probably better in that room, but they're nice, like outdoors in between mountain peaks. But I can only fit one set of Highland pipes in this box, and I can fit these other five instruments in instead. So I brought these. This is a Northumbrian small pipe, and it's called that because it's a small bagpipe from Northumbria. Okay. I'm glad I can explain things so succinctly. There's three traditional bagpipes from the British Isles, from all of England and Scotland and Ireland. There are three traditional bagpipes. There's the Highland bagpipes, which you know all about. Which are the most common. There are the Uilleann pipes, which are the Irish pipes, which are much more popular than they were 20 or 30 years ago. You can kind of see them in recordings now a lot, but which I don't have here and actually don't play. And then there's these, which are the Northumbrian small pipes. The Scottish bagpipes are from Scotland, the Uilleann pipes are from Ireland, and the Northumbrian small pipes are from this little county in the very northeast of England. Which has a culture very much like Scottish lowland culture. Scotland has mainly two main cultures, the lowland culture and the highland culture. Highland culture was all Gaelic speaking until very recently. Lowland culture has not been Gaelic speaking since the Middle Ages. But these come from more of a lowland tradition, but they're also, it's a culture that's also shared with the very northeastern corner of England in Northumberland. Mikey, you've heard of Lindisfarne? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's in Northumberland. These come from that same part of the country. So the cool thing about Northumbrian pipes, which is why I play them a lot, is that they've got all these added keys to the chanter, and they give it extra notes. So like a Scottish Highland pipe only has 9 notes on it. Nine notes, diatonic, very limited range, thousands of tunes, but not very many notes. Go figure, just the creativity of the human mind. But these have got a 2-octave chromatic range, so they can play in different keys, and I can play lots of different kinds of music on them. I sometimes use them to accompany voice, and I play Northumbrian pipe tunes on them, and I play fiddle tunes on them, and all the tunes that I played that I opened with were all fiddle tunes. One of them was the first one was a Scottish fiddle tune, and the other two were Irish fiddle tunes. So this plays a lot of fiddle tunes and whatever else it wants.
So a fiddle tune is played with a violin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or even a fiddle.
Okay. A fiddle.
It's versatile. Mm-hmm. Fiddle tunes have a bigger range than you mostly can't play fiddle tunes on Highland pipes. All right, did I answer your question? Way too much?
Yeah, so there's other pipes.
These things?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, yeah, you're keeping me straight here.
Yeah, okay.
So Northumbrian small pipes has four parts. It's got a bag, which is what makes it a bagpipe. And most quiet bagpipes also use a bellows rather than a blowpipe. Loud bagpipes have much harder reeds that can stand up to getting wet and dry and wet and dry. If you blow a bagpipe with a bellows, you can scrape the reeds much finer and you can get the pipe to be much softer. And so most of the softer pipes are bellows blown. So you got this bellows over here, and this, there's a bag here, and I used to tell a joke here that I can't tell anymore. I maintain an air of mystery by keeping this crossover pipe cleverly hidden underneath my beard, which is not here anymore. Which went away about 2 months ago. So it cost me that joke. First of all, I have to make up some new ones, I guess. And then the chanter, these things here. Oh, you were just asking me about these things. Now these are the part of the bagpipe that sound like a vacuum cleaner. Yeah, it's called the drones because they sound like a hive of bees, but they play this very somewhat boring accompaniment to the music. But some of us like it, so anyway. So these are the drones, and the chanter, of course. The chanter is the melody pipe and plays the tunes, and I told you about how cool the chanter is and how it does all sorts of different things. And we can talk more about that if I haven't worn out my welcome for talking.
So you're all at the same time, you're pumping the bellows with your right elbow, you're squeezing the bellows, you're squeezing the bag with your left elbow, and you're playing the chanter.
Yes.
With both hands.
Yes.
So your whole body is involved in it.
Keeping time with his left foot.
And keeping time with my left foot. Don't forget the left foot. There's a lot of concentration that goes into that left foot.
This is whole body music.
Yeah, that's right. It's like, you know, I'm like the dinosaur. They have an extra brain in their tail. So I got an extra brain in my armpit. Yes.
How old were you when you started playing?
Oh, you know, not nearly, not too old.
Yeah.
I was 26. Yeah, there's like five players in England that I'll never catch because they all started when they were kids. But I'm reckoned to be pretty good for somebody who started as an adult. Yeah.
Is that quite an ancient design?
Ah, good question. The bagpipe history is a little hard to fathom because there's not that much documentation. And, you know, I can actually tell you everything that is known about bagpipe documentation, but not in an hour. But the short answer to that question is this fingering system that we use for the Northumbrian small pipes goes back at least 300 years. There's a fingering chart from 1695. With this fingering system on it. The keys were added about 100 years later. So the keys were added, you know, around 1800. You could probably get something with this many keys by 1830 or 1840. So the keys are kind of a modernism, and that's what actually makes it really versatile. That's what makes it, and Northumbrian pipers figure here. There's a traditional keyless chanter, but it's not used that much because everybody likes having the versatility of having all those extra notes.
So are there always four of the drone pipes in all bagpipes?
No, there aren't even always four drone pipes on Northumbrian small pipes. That's the most common number of drone pipes, but you actually never use all four of them at once. I remember I mentioned that you could play this in different keys. I turn some off and turn some on to get different keys. I might just want a thinner or a thicker drone sound. So that's got three on right now. It's a nice rich sound for a nice slow air. I just turned one of them off, so it's a somewhat thinner sound. And also these will tune to different notes as well. I can open another hole and tune it up, so I can have that play a D or a E. So I can change keys that way too. I've seen Northumbrian small pipes with extra drones added. I've seen with five or six. More than that, they get pretty heavy. It's hard because it's actually the air pressure in the bag that keeps it out. That keeps it up. I read an article about why all bellows-blown pipes have the drones coming out here rather than going over your shoulder like you see on a Highland pipe. Imagine the drums are over my shoulder and I want to tune them. I never thought of that. The pipe maker would, yeah.
What came first, of which of the bagpipes? Are they all originated about the same time, or?
No, you know, the bagpipes, you know, yeah, that's a hard question to answer because they change, and you know, it's like, when do you decide when something's just a variation of something else and when it's its own thing? But basically, what we do know is that there was pretty much, there appears to be pretty much one model of bagpipe all across continental Europe and Britain in the Middle Ages. And how they diverged after that, nobody really knows, because the historical record doesn't really show that very well. I mean, there's a whole lot of different kinds of bagpipes. I'm going to just throw out a number that I'm more or less making up, but it's probably 150 different kinds of bagpipes. You know, I once tried to figure out, I identified there were 15 from France, there were 4 from Spain, there were 8 from Poland. Those the 8 Polish ones were all traditional at the time. And you just go through every country and count how many different kinds of bagpipes they have. There's a lot of them. There's a whole lot of them in Greece and Eastern Europe is full of different bagpipe varieties. And they're traditional, but we don't really know when they diverge because there's not really that much documentation. Now, what was the question again? Was that the answer to the question you asked? I can't remember the question.
So how did you take up like the Northumbrian pipes when they're pretty rare around here? Did you learn here or did you go over?
Well, no. I had a music degree. I didn't start playing bagpipes until I was 26. And I had a music degree, so I got a set of pipes in the mail and I knew something about learning instruments. And I knew like how to play in tune and how to tune an instrument. And so I kind of figured it out for myself for a while. I kind of figured it out for myself and I kind of ran into some problems. I got some real tension problems from, because it's really hard to relax your fingers when your upper arms are working so much. And so I went to a physical therapist. I talked to physical therapists and they gave me some advice. And so I was working on trying to practice and relax my shoulders and relax my fingers. And I sort of developed this ergonomic theory of playing Northumbrian small pipes that when I finally met other Northumbrian small pipers, they said, no, nobody ever thinks about it that way. And they started bringing me over to England to teach workshops. Because nobody had ever really analyzed the ergonomics of Northumbrian small pipes, but I had to because it was kind of wrecking my playing not knowing this, so I had to talk to a physical therapist, to a PT to get things sorted out. That was one thing. And again, the reeds are really hard, and I just remembered like lots of really expensive, like back then transatlantic phone calls were expensive, you remember that? The days before Skype. So you know, talking to the pipe maker about how to fix my reeds. Anyway, so the Northumbrian small pipe. While we're on the subject of bagpipes, and we can come back to these if you like. I just didn't want to spend too long on one instrument. Come back to this. These are an instrument that I didn't play at. I was going to play them tonight at the concert, but I didn't play them on the service we did on Sunday, although I did play them for a few minutes outside the other morning. Oh, the lady that requested Danny Boy is here tonight. I've got the Danny Boy instrument here. Yeah. proper concert, I'd be much more apologetic about tuning in front of you. So these are the long word for this would be the Scottish Highland reel pipes, and they're basically pretty much like Highland pipes, but they're not nearly as loud. But they have the same 9-note scale as I was talking about before. They play the same tunes. They use the same ornamentation. They have the same general behavior of having the low notes be louder than the high notes, which is different from almost every other wind instrument. And the ornamentation on Highland pipes is based on that.
What do you mean ornamentation?
I can articulate. I can stop notes and start them again on Northumbrian small pipes, or on whistle, or on flute, or any other wind instrument. On bagpipes, you're giving it a constant supply of air, and all the notes are going to run together unless you do something about that. So you put another note in between, or another two notes, or three notes, or four notes, or five notes, or six notes, or eight notes. So some of the ornamentation is fairly complicated. So it's something that we use both to give definition to the music and to give texture to the music and to give rhythm to the music. Let's see, what would be a good...
Basically, it's like playing a foot pedal on an organ. It kind of makes a background, or
yeah. Didn't you ask me how I got into this? How I got into such a rare Pat did. Yeah, I love drones. I mean, the drones are these things here, and I love drones. I went to music school and I studied early music. And they had this cantus firmus counterpoint from the 15th century, because you take the chant melody and you stretch it out in really long notes, and then you weave all this intricate counterpoint all around it. And I thought, oh, I love that effect, but those long notes aren't nearly long enough. So I should get a bagpipe I got a bagpipe. That's why I got Northumbrian small pipes first, is because they're better for ensemble music. You know what the difference between a Highland bagpipe and a lawnmower is? That wasn't the punchline. A lawnmower is more useful for chamber music. So I got Northumbrian small pipes for chamber music. And they sound really great with violin. And
Who's up there?
Sullivan.
They sound really great with violin and flute I recorded a CD a few years ago that has some of my compositions. So anyway, I got Northumbrian small pipes so I could write music for, because I write music too. And I like to write sort of 18th century style counterpoint. My CD that I did in 2007 actually ends with a fugue. For Northumbrian small pipes, flute, violin, viola, cello, harp, and guitar. It was pretty fun. It took me a month to write, though. So yeah, you'd ask me how, I was really interested in drones, and I want to combine music with melody, which we get from the chanter, and harmony, which you get from some other instrument, and drones that you get from the drones, and then chordal instruments too. So you've got this texture of counterpoint and harmony and counterpoint and drones, and it's fun. It's wise. I'm into it anyway. So go ahead.
Are you part of any bagpipe bands, or do you?
No. They're pipe bands, but they just play everything in unison. I said to you, a pipe band just seemed like a boring way to go deaf to me. I don't tell Piper that. That comment stays in this room. So anyway, so the thing that I often do with this instrument is I often do a lot of dance music, and Celtic music has got lots of different kinds of music. I mean, we can talk about the different kinds of tunes in Celtic music too. But it's my attraction with this instrument is it's got such a, you know, an aggressive rhythmic punch to it. It's really great for dance music. I suppose you want to hear a dance tune, of course you do.
Yes.
Yeah. But you want to hear some tuning first. did. I saw you all dancing too.
What type of dance?
Pardon?
Do you play for dances ever? Because I can see this with contra or like.
Oh yeah, kind of, that's a jig, and you'd use a jig for contra. And I've played for contras before, yeah. And I actually play a lot for dancing. I'm kind of the official piper for the Scottish Country Dance chapter in the Twin Cities. And they probably have me do, you know, 7 or 8 or 9 gigs a year playing dance music. And they often dance outside, and so they have to have a Highland Piper for to be loud enough. And so they're one of the few chapters in the country that dances to Highland Pipes. And it's hard. It is a hard gig because you really got to just be. Not only you have to make it feel danceable. You have to not make any mistakes. And you have to get the tempo exactly right. I mean, they are unhappy if you're like one click off. Dancers are real particular about tempo.
Is that kind of music considered Celtic music as well?
Yes. Yeah, we haven't done anything that is not totally typically. We have not even gotten to the margins of Celtic music yet. I'm just talking too much. That's right. I guess, you know.
What are the types of Celtic music?
Well, okay, you know, Irish music is a bit different than Scottish music. Mm-hmm. And I mean, those are kind of the two. Irish music is more popular, but it tends to have a sort of a smoother, and rhythmically it feels the same. There was this really funny description of the difference between Irish music and Scottish music that this Scottish folk singer is touring with Tannhill Weavers. I have to get up. I can stand on this, right?
Yes, sure.
Okay, so you can get up here soon. This guy said, oh, the difference between Scottish music and Irish music is that Scottish music's got a beat like this, and Irish music's got a beat like this. And he meant it to be derogatory. Obviously, but it's actually a pretty fair description in that Irish music has, you really Scottish music is what I've been playing, and it gives you that really foot stomping feel. Here's an Irish jig. So do you know what the difference between a whistle and a recorder is? Extra credit here. They are. Here's a recorder here, and they are different materials, but that's not the important bit. Because you can get wooden whistles and you can get metal recorders.
Is the recorder
the
reed?
No, they both are fluid. Pens? Okay, I'll give you a hint.
You're putting your mouth on.
The
recorder.
Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's the same as the difference between a spider and an insect.
Oh, legs and feet.
Different
legs.
Holes.
Number of holes.
One has 6 holes and one has 8 holes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So, this is the spider, this is the insect. That really makes me want to put it in my mouth. Yeah, so anyways, yeah. So, okay, so we were talking about, before I got on to wasting time trying to be funny, the we were talking about the difference between Irish music and Scottish music. So Irish music's got the tunes are structured a little bit differently too. Yeah, Sully, you got your fiddle here tonight, don't you?
Yeah, I can go grab it.
Okay, well, maybe you want to come down and join me at the end and see if we know any tunes in common? Okay, well, we'll save it to the end, but I'm just giving you fair warning now.
Sounds good.
So you can go and throw up and be ready for it. So there's Irish music and there's Scottish music, and I was talking about Scottish Highland music and Lowland music. Now the stuff that tune that I played on the reel pipes is a Highland tune. There are also Lowland tunes that you might play on bagpipe. There's a different kind of bagpipe that's died out. When I said there are three traditional pipes from the British Isles, I meant that they're traditional, that they've been played ever since they came around. There's a bunch of bagpipes that sort of died out and have been revived. So I would call that a historical pipe. And the approach to those instruments and to that whole repertoire is really totally different. When people talk about Celtic music, they almost always are talking about traditional music, but I would never limit it to that, because there are so many really great old tunes in old manuscripts, some of them that are like, they sort of sound Scottish. And in fact, it seems like that's more of a popular thing among Minnesotans. There's the other person I know who specializes in ancient Irish harp music, and was the person who revived the wire-strung ancient Irish harp in the 20th century. He's also from Minnesota. So,
who's that?
Anne Heyman. And she goes all over the world doing harp conferences, and she lives in Winthrop now. I think she's from Eagan or something. I was talking about traditional and historical. Oh, I was talking about border pipes. So I was gonna. This is a tune I'm gonna play on the Thursday concert if it happens. But this is more of a lowland Scottish tune. So you'd call this Celtic music. And although the meter doesn't sound, and you can imagine I'm playing a border pipe now, because the border pipe is the traditional lowland instrument. But if you listen to the tune, you can hear that it sounds modally like the modality and the ornamentation is Celtic, but the meter is totally unusual. It's kind of a meter that you'd never find in Highland music. You find it a lot in Northumbrian music. Sort of hear some similarities to what else I've been playing, but again, it's not a rollicking jig like the one I just played. It just has a different kind of a driving beat to it. Highland pipe tunes there's a lot of really common Highland pipe tunes that are really, really typical. They have lots of marches, lots of jigs and reels like you'd find in fiddle music. They also have really, they have this repertoire of really plaintive airs. I should play you one of these, because they're melodically so unusual. They're kind of based on the old medieval pibroch tradition. So this is kind of a little sample of what a real old, like 17th century Highland pipe tune might sound like. I mean, these are tunes that have been around since the really old time. But in a real traditional repertoire, what you find is it's going to be a mix between stuff that just goes back hundreds of years and stuff that goes back not nearly as long and stuff that, I mean, most traditional musicians, their repertoire isn't all from one period or another. It's kind of all over the map. Let's see, what would be...
Since forever... bugles and trumpets have been used in warfare. Was the pipe ever used in warfare?
Yes, it was. Up until World War I, when the Germans found out that they were so satisfying to machine gun down.
Oh. No. but it wasn't used to broadcast calls to the troops about to make a move or...
It was used, the documentation on exactly what it was used for and how it was used isn't very good, but there is some, and it appears not to have been used as a signal instrument. It appears just to have been used as a morale, psychological instrument. The other thing is that, you see, a Scottish army of the 18th century would have, like, dozens of pipers, but they would never play together. They didn't have pipe bands until the Victorian age. Each piper would go with its own company. So there might be a couple hundred yards between pipers. They'd all be playing different tunes. They'd be playing at different times. So if you were the opposing, if you were in then the Scottish company that was being accompanied by a piper, you would hear your company's tune. If you were in the opposing army, you'd hear this cacophony of about 20 different trumpets played at once. So that's why they probably have, were psychological values. They sounded so much worse to the enemy than they did to the Scots. Did somebody else? Yeah.
So that was war. What about church? What was the role of pipes in religious rituals?
I'm not familiar with any documentation on that at all. It was probably none, because up until the Reformation, you know, it was really music in the Catholic Church was pretty much controlled by the Vatican. And up until the Reformation. And then after the Reformation, music in, especially in Scotland, where they had lots of bagpipes, music in the Scottish church was very, I mean, they didn't have organs in Scottish churches until the 1870s. I said 1870s. They actually, the Presbyterians were very down on both pipes and fiddles, and they were having bonfires of the vanities as in the late 19th century in the Scottish Hebrides. People were burning pipes and fiddles. Churches were burning pipes and fiddles. So Luther had it right. Luther had it right. Why should the devil get all the good tunes? Isn't that a Luther quote?
Yeah, I think so.
Why should the devil have all the good instruments? So, but the Calvinist Presbyterians were, there was a woman piper who was hosting a concert that I was giving at a Presbyterian church. Says, could you talk about the history of pipes in the Presbyterian church? I said, do you really want me to? I know what the answer is, and it might not be one you like. Anyway, so. We were talking about old. I'm going to play an old Turlough O'Carolan tune. Turlough O'Carolan was a blind Irish harper who died in 1738. And I'm going to play. He wrote a lot of tunes. He named them after patrons. He would go and stay at people's houses, and write tunes for them and name them after them. And I do that too, but I go to people's houses and eat up all their food and then name to it. So usually the name of the food that I like particularly would be featured in the tune name as well as their name. But here's Robert Jordan by Turlough O'Carolan. You can hear it's got a very flowing weaving pentatonicism to it. It's got that same, you know, I was talking about Irish music has this more flowing line to it, but it also has, the melodic style is very, it strikes me as very medieval, typically medieval Celtic. It actually works. Thank you. other questions?
Does the music look just like regular music with the staff and everything?
It can.
It can.
Yeah. It's often notated the same way. Often people don't like to notate it at all, though, because it doesn't, the notation doesn't really do it justice. So if I play a performance for you and then you write it down and you hand it to somebody else and they play it, it's not going to sound anything the same. And so it really, all the Celtic traditions really emphasize the oral nature of it. They really say, you know, you're better off if you just don't learn music, if you just pick it up by ear, because then you'll pick up all the details. All of the important rhythmic ornamentation, phrasing, the stuff that you can't really notate.
What instruments did you play before you started the pipes?
It's a long list. It's a long list. I actually kept quitting instruments when I was a kid.
So what was your first instrument?
Oh, piano. And then in band, I played trombone. I didn't like that. I played saxophone. And I stuck with saxophone for, three or four years. And then I took up, I started playing recorder when I was in eighth grade, and mandolin when I was in ninth grade. And then I wanted to go to music school, and so I thought I'd better get a real instrument. So I kept trying, so I tried out oboe and bassoon and other stuff. And I finally went to college to be a recorder major. And boy, that was a mistake. It took me 40 years to figure out what to do with that. And then I became a bagpiper. So yeah, life is weird. Okay, so now, I had a request that I'm going to fulfill now. After some more of this obligatory tuning.
What are you listening for when you're tuning?
What am I listening for?
Yeah.
For to be in tune.
Is it pitch?
Yeah. Yeah, you can listen for beats too. Right now I'm hearing an air leap. I'm trying to chase that down. Northumbrian small pipes is a very versatile instrument. You can play a lot of different kinds of music. Any other requests or questions, or do you want to do you think we can find some? Did you know that tune that I played you when you were saying you played some Irish music?
I didn't know. I recognized it. I didn't know it well, but I also.
Okay, why don't you go grab your fiddle and we'll see what we can do.
That's the other idea.
Well, why don't you come down here? I mean, it would be cool. It would be cool, but I see problems. And I just don't want to deal with it.
When you add fiddle, do you mostly add Irish fiddle, Scottish fiddle, Cape Breton fiddle, Anything in particular?
All of the above, yeah. I played, you know, I did 5 tours with a Cape Breton fiddler.
It's wonderful.
I did it 5 tours with Andrew Beaton. Do you know Andrew Beaton?
Oh, my, yeah.
Yeah, she's really fun.
Wow.
And she can play really well. You know, there's a Scottish fiddler that I'm playing with now from Chicago, and he is amazing. He's like 25 years old or 26 years old, and he's just a monster. He plays on Baroque violin. He's the loudest Baroque violinist I've ever heard. You think he's gonna saw the instrument in half.
If anyone wanted to see some smaller size whistles.
Yeah, those are the regular ones.
Yeah.
Those are the ones you can actually get for a reasonable price.
Yeah.
These things, have you seen these, what are these, Michael Burke, have you seen Burke whistles?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're nice, they're up to about $300 on us.
So to
really
show,
well in tune, though.
To show my ignorance, which one has 6 holes and which one has 8 holes?
Oh, the whistle has 6 holes.
Okay.
Okay. The recorder has 8 holes. So what do you know? Do you know Swallowtail Jig? Okay. Do you know?
Figure out
a minute. And do you know Blarney Pilgrim? Mm-hmm. Do you Blarney Pilgrim? Do you know Tripping Up the Steps? So this is what you'd see if you went into an Irish pub and had 2 sessions. You know this? What about this one? See, a lot of Celtic music is not terribly formal. I don't know if you're getting that impression. You should be. But we've never played together before, okay? Did we play together? No, you were playing. You just done those Vesper things. Okay.
Which one are we doing?
We'll do Blarney Pilgrim, and then we'll do Swallowtail.
Is that the second one?
Yeah. No, I didn't play Swallowtail. Swallowtail's E minor.
Yeah,
okay. 2 each? Yeah, 2 each.
Thank you.
how you learn by ear.
I was going to say, if this were a regular session in a pub, if she was that close on that tune, I would have just kept just playing the tune over and over until she had it. But I don't know her well enough. I mean, we just met this week. We never played before. I don't know her well enough to put her on the spotlight.
Yeah, I would have kept trying.
Yeah, were you in here at the beginning where I said, welcome to Dick Hensel's pub.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.